All right. Well, God bless you guys. Hey, if you notice just a little bit of shift in how things look or how things sound, bear with us. We had some major technical difficulties in getting this online service ready for you. So we switched gears and we're going to plug in and just make it happen for you. So we'll be up and running again next week. But thank you for your understanding. Hey, I'm excited because we're ending our message series. Not excited that we're ending it, but I really want to bring a fullness to all that Jesus was trying to say to us as he was challenging us to remember that during difficulty, during circumstances, during moments that bring pressure and pain and discomfort and all that we don't like, because listen, remember when your parents said, like it or not, this is going to happen, like it or not, you got to eat your vegetables, like it or not, we're going to grandma's for dinner, like it or not, we're going to this family reunion, like it or not, you got to get up and go to school. Good things can happen even when we don't like the circumstances by which God introduces those good things. And that's what Jesus does throughout the Beatitudes. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. We call it that. He didn't. And he's teaching his disciples, lots and lots of people sitting on a hillside. And Jesus starts naming difficulties and pain and pressures that come from without and come from within. And he tells us, you know what? You're actually going to be pretty happy that you went through this because it's going to bring something really good that God wants to bring out of you or put into you. And I'm convinced that those kind of things don't happen unless pressure is applied and difficulty happens in our life. Let me read to you from Matthew 5:10. It says this out of the New International Version. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I like the way it says that, okay, but I actually like it a lot better out of the Message Version. It has just kind of a bit of a flair that I really, really appreciate. Listen to what it says in the Message. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. I want to say it one more time. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Now, this is where we kind of pause and say, well, I don't know. I mean, do we face persecution in life today? I mean, is that a thing? Is persecution a real thing for Christians, non-Christians? 100% pure persecution is real. Now, was it the same as what persecution is in the church in China? No, it's not. But do we face persecution here? Let me give you the definition and then you can answer it for yourself. Persecution is simply to subject someone to hostility, harassment, and ill treatment, especially because of their race or political or religious beliefs. It doesn't have to be because of those, but it's especially because of those. To subject someone to hostility, harassment, and ill treatment, especially because of their race or political or religious beliefs. Listen, spend 5 minutes on social media. Spend 5 minutes listening to conversations. Watch the news. Absolutely, persecution exists. We do it to each other all the time. As a matter of fact, persecution has kind of become the new currency of our culture. It's what we use and it's what we do to gain position in arguments, to feel like we are better than someone else, to feel like we know more, to feel like we've got a better perspective, to feel like we're morally right, that we have the moral high ground. Man, we persecute each other. Oh, of course, most of the persecution that we have with each other and that we give to each other and receive from each other, it's about things that don't even rise to the level of mild annoyance. I mean, people attack each other for, hey, I like oranges. You like oranges? What? You don't like bananas? You don't like apples? You don't like grapes? You don't like plums or pineapple? Those are all great fruits. Well, oranges aren't even good for you. They're high in sugar. Why would you? That's kind of the way it's become when we sort of attack each other over some of the most benign, simple things. But when we do start actually being persecuted for something that we value, something that we care about, we'll do virtually anything to make that persecution stop. Here's why. Because when we're persecuted for something that we value and something that we believe that persecution somehow minimizes that, that when they persecute us for that, it somehow takes away the potency or the validity. And so we will turn around and we will use the very ammunition, we will use the very same tools to stop them. We see the injustice of what they're saying, or the unfairness of what they're saying, or their ignorance for doing it, and we want it to stop, and we'll fight fire with fire. We'll turn those tables. They belittle us, so we'll belittle them. They criticize us, we'll criticize them. They shame us, we'll shame them for them, their beliefs. And we sort of justify being able to do that. Here's why: because we believe that we're right. And when you're right, you believe that you can do a lot of things. You can get into fights, and you can go to war, and you can do a lot of different things when you are convinced that you're right, when you're convinced it's the best for you and the best for others. And we'll silence persecution at virtually any cost, because if we believe that we're on the right side of morality, or we're the right side on religion, or that we're on the right side of politics, or that we're on the right side of history, we believe that whatever tools we have to use to silence those voices of persecution is the right thing to do. But I want you to hear this. Persecution's never going to stop. Not for the dumb things, and not for the legitimate things, not for the silly, benign things, and not for the things that actually have value and meaning. Persecution's never going to stop, because it's a tool that we believe in, and we believe it's effective. And when we're passionate about one thing and someone is passionate on the other side, we believe that somehow we can overpower their ignorance. We can overpower their wrongness with our rightness. So it's not a good idea, actually, for you and I to resist persecution, to avoid persecution. Number one, because it's always going to exist. But number two, and this is the most important part, and this is what I want to talk to you about today, is because that might just be the tool that God uses to bring blessing into your life. And so instead of persecution bringing out the very worst in us and stirring all those negative reactions in us, we let persecution become a vehicle of blessing in our life. So grab your notes if you don't already have them. Hop onto the app. The notes are going to be there for you. If I want persecution to stop stirring up the worst in me, listen, I get it. None of us want to be persecuted, but we don't have to let it stir up the worst in us. We can actually let it bring blessing to our lives. If I want persecution to stop stirring up the worst in me, I have to, number one, stop dodging what God is using. Stop dodging what God is using. Have you ever watched people? Now, we don't get a ton of rain in California, but we have a few months where it rains, and it's done a little of that this year. And have you ever watched people, sort of especially Californians, react to the rain? They'll do virtually anything. Carry umbrellas, put shopping bags over their head, run as fast as they can from their car to the store, and from the store to their car, to avoid these droplets of moisture that come from the sky. We sort of treat rain like it can absolutely melt us. But imagine if we avoided water all the time like we avoid rain when it's raining. We'd never wash a dish. We'd never take a shower. We'd never go to the beach. We'd never go to a water park. We'd never water the lawn because we might get sprayed by it. We obviously understand that water benefits us, and there are times that we try to avoid it. So we have a pretty decent relationship with water. We understand that water has its benefits. Maybe we should understand that persecution has its benefits. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:12 and 14 says this: everyone who wants to live showing true devotion to God in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This is Paul writing to Timothy, explaining to him a really difficult truth. But he goes, Timothy, in order to really be a devoted follower of Christ, you really need to be prepared for the fact that you're going to be persecuted. Every single person who's a devoted follower of Christ is going to be persecuted. But you should continue following the teaching you learned. You know it's true because you can trust those who taught you. In other words, he says, you've got to keep doing it. Keep doing the right thing, even though you understand you're going to be persecuted. And here's why. Persecution is imminent. It's unavoidable. It's part of the territory. When you stand up for the right thing, when you are following Christ, when you're a passionate follower of Christ, you're going to be persecuted. And then he says this. The scripture says this in 1 Peter 3:13 through 15. Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? Like, who would ever want to harm you if you want to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Don't let persecution intimidate you. Don't let criticism intimidate you. Don't let any of the attacks intimidate you. Don't be scared of those things. Don't try to avoid persecution. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. In other words, listen, it's a vehicle that God uses to bring blessing. He even brings opportunity to spread the gospel as you're standing in the firmness of your own faith and it's being attacked. You can focus on being ready to share the gospel instead of stop persecution in your life. Number two is this: if I want persecution to stop stirring up the worst in me, I have to stop confusing my self-righteousness with God's righteousness. Stop confusing my self-righteousness with God's righteousness. So it's pretty astonishing what people have done throughout history in the name of God. I mean, wars have been fought, and there was a time when people were burned at the stake. Discrimination is fueled, and intolerance spread in the name of God. Marriages have been ruined. I've seen it with my own eyes. Violence unleashed on people, friendships ruined on a daily basis, and people rationalize it and justify it because of God. It's all because people shamelessly try to make God conform to their position, their worldview, their beliefs, their agendas, their ideals, their opinions. We make God back us on what we believe, and sometimes, most of the time, many times, we've got some real issues with where we stand on things, with what we believe about things. Lisa and I were having a discussion this morning about a particularly sensitive topic, and we were just talking about how followers of Christ have just surrendered themselves to their feelings about it, even though Scripture has a very clear understanding of it. Scripture has a very clear declaration on it, and people just have absorbed themselves in their own feelings. That's the problem we have with confusing our self-righteousness with God's righteousness, is that we take a position on something because we believe we're right, even at the cost of believing God may not have the full story. God may not have full understanding of what he really needs to understand. And then we misinterpret any persecution that comes our way as the hedonistic, godless pagans attacking us like vampires who have holy water splashed on them, that they're just reacting because they're so terribly evil. And then we think that, see, they're standing against me because I'm standing for what's right. But I want you to hear this passage from Jesus in Matthew 5:11. It says, people will insult you and hurt you. And you go, yeah, yep. And they'll lie and say all kind of evil things about you. And you go, yep, yep, yep. And Jesus says, because you follow me, but when they do that, know that your great blessings will belong to you. So I want to stop really quick. Keep this in mind. The only persecution that actually counts, the only persecution that actually brings blessing to your life, is the kind of persecution that comes because we are biblically validated followers of Christ. Not people who call ourselves followers of Christ, who come up with our own kind of worldview and we stir up our own things, and then we sort of use our status as a follower of Christ to rationalize and justify all of our political views, all of our worldviews, all of our opinions, and all of our positions. I want you to hear this. The Bible gives a portrait of what a follower of Christ looks like. It is living in the image of Jesus himself. So it's not being persecuted for being obnoxious at work. It's not being persecuted for being antagonistic on social media. It's not being persecuted for going on a political rant. It's not being persecuted for a social position that you've taken and tried to pass it off as a biblical issue. It's your sole commitment to being a biblical follower of Christ that brings you blessing. Not your position, not my position of self-righteousness, but living in the image of and the reflection of God's righteousness. And then third and finally is this. You staying with me? I hope you are. If I want persecution to stop stirring up the worst in me, I have to, number three, stop putting my hope in any kingdom other than God's. Stop putting my hope in any kingdom other than God's. So Jesus said that the blessing, the reward, the joy of persecution is moving deeper into the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's the payoff. That's the reward for persecution, is we move deeper into the kingdom of God. If that doesn't excite you and me, if going deeper into the kingdom of God, experiencing more of the kingdom of God doesn't get us excited, here's the problem. It probably means that you and I don't know enough about the kingdom of God, what that really means to you and I. And we really wouldn't be the first to misunderstand the kingdom of God and what it's supposed to look like. The crowds that came to hear Jesus speak, they were hoping that Jesus was a political revolutionary, that Jesus was going to stand up against Roman oppression. He was going to lead them in a great revolution, and he was going to be a military leader and a political leader, and that he was going to use his charisma and his influence to stand up against the oppression of the Roman government. His own disciples thought that the kingdom of God looked like other kingdoms that they had been familiar with, earthly kingdoms, and so they fought. They fought with each other to decide who would be sitting at Jesus's right hand when he came into the kingdom of God and he ruled the kingdom of God, when he established his kingdom. The kingdom he kept talking about, they thought was going to be like an earthly kingdom, and they said, I want to rule at your right hand. They were looking for position. They were looking for power. They were looking for the opportunity to get back at all the people who had wronged them. They confused that. Even as he stood before Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate thought he was literally trying to be the king of the Jews. He misunderstood everything that Jesus said and everything that had been told to him. And this is what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, a leader, a political leader, someone who ran his own kingdom, John 18:36. Jesus said, my kingdom is not from this world. If it were, those who serve me would fight. They would try to keep the Jewish leaders from arresting me. In other words, Jesus said, if my kingdom was an earthly kingdom, a kingdom that you understood, then they would act just like, and they saw their leader, their king, being arrested, they would have used violence to stop you. They would have used all the same tools to stop the Jewish leaders and to stop me from standing here on trial. And Jesus said, my kingdom is from another place. And that means it behaves differently, it acts differently, it thinks differently, it talks differently. Everything that Jesus stood for stood in opposition to all the earthly kingdoms that have been so unfair, unjust, and abusive. And when Jesus addressed the crowd of people, he spoke to their concerns. This verse actually demonstrates what Jesus was trying to get through to us as we look to who will meet my needs, who will take care of us. If you look at our world right now, people cry out for the government to do more. Take care of us, introduce new programs, feed us, help us. Healthcare, all of those things, we turn to the government because we believe in the kingdoms of this world often more than we believe in the kingdom of God. And listen to what it says in Matthew 6:33. Jesus, very familiar verse, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. In other words, qualify yourself as a citizen of that kingdom, and he will give you everything you need. Jesus was addressing all of the kinds of things that we believe come from earthly kingdoms. And I mean the kind of kingdoms that come from having wealth, that come from having power, that come from having influence, that come from having a name, that come from having all the things that we believe will give us the peace and the satisfaction and the needs being met in our life. We believe that that can be found here. And Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, what I prioritize, what I care about, what I tell you about, what I give to you, I promise you, I will take care of all of those things. So you and I have to prioritize God's kingdom in our life. Because if we get excited about the idea that God's going to meet more of our needs, that God's going to establish us, that God's going to make us leaders of men and leaders of women, and God's going to give us positions of influence to shape lives because he trusts us to move people towards God's kingdom instead of our political views, or God's kingdom instead of our moral superiority, or God's kingdom instead of all the things that we've prioritized, God's going to give us those moments of influence, and God's going to give us those those tools and those resources in our life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Because I want you right where you're sitting, whether you're watching at a computer desk or you're watching in your family room, or maybe you're sitting somewhere outside and you've got this on your phone, would you just take a moment and ask God to give you what's next for you for all of this to begin to listen? God wants this blessing in your life. Jesus taught this blessing in your life, but it doesn't happen without your participation in that blessing. Instead of resisting persecution, you embrace persecution. You welcome persecution. You understand that persecution doesn't stop, that you can't stop it. It's a rolling tide that keeps coming in. But you say, man, Lord, as all of that persecution rolls in, so with it comes blessing from you, and I'm ready for it, Lord. I just want to be watching for all the right things. I want to be reacting in all the right ways. Father, we thank you for this chance to respond to you and what you're telling us. Each one of us has to deal with this differently because each one of us has a different relationship with the truth that we've heard today. So give us peace of mind, give us certainty, give us discernment to be honest with ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit bring to our attention every area that needs correction, every area that needs improvement, every area that needs change, health, and growth. And we believe for that change to come. We believe for that blessing to come into our life, not in spite of persecution, but because of persecution. And we want to stand for what's right, what's truly, genuinely right, and that is being a compassionate, loving follower of Jesus Christ and reflecting you in our everyday lives, in our conversations, in our interactions, in our social media interactions, in our families, in every possible way. We want to reflect you in every way. And we pray for that, receive it, and claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.